Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Dave McGinnis coming up on today's show. Looking forward to Coach Mack. Those of you that are Cardinal fans, NFL fans for years and years, you know Coach Mack, LA Rams assistant head coach. This is one of those days where I want to check in with Coach Mack on just how he's adapting to LA lifestyle and the Rams and, of course, the NFC West. We've been very baseball heavy this week and a lot of college football. I've not done much around the NFL. It'll be good to catch up with Dave McGinnis on that front. Greg Byrne is going to be in studio with us today as well, the University of Arizona athletic director. And I'm going to do football heavy with Greg. We wrote the column last week about how I look at the Pac-12 and think that Arizona and Arizona State are just kind of like, And with this Big 12 conference expansion, maybe they should be more open-minded to looking out for themselves. I want to talk to Greg directly about that. Also, they open with BYU, a game here in the Valley, rather than in Tucson. That's going to be a blue and white home game, let's be honest. Even if you're the most ardent Arizona Wildcat football fan, you should know it's a road game. It's going to be played here in Phoenix, but BYU is going to show up en masse. So I want to talk with Greg about that, because I think there's some strategic planning that he put into that front. Eric is with us today. You know, I brought that up earlier in the week about you being here, and somebody sent me an email saying, why do you have to acknowledge Eric that he's here? Because, what, last week you took off your 25th day of the year already? Something like that?
Yeah, you always introduce me like I'm just, I come on the show occasionally. I'm really here pretty much 5 days a week. I spend more time in the studio than you do.
So. We've been together off and on for 20-plus years. So
yes, we have.
As the years have progressed, it seems like you've added a week of vacation for every year that we've been together. So I do have to at least acknowledge that you're here.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And he brought up to me today about Top Gun. It's the 30th anniversary of Top Gun. So sometime at this point, I'm guessing you're a Top Gun guy. Is that why you want me to talk about this?
Well, I'm not a huge Top Gun guy. It's more of, wow, can you believe that movie's 30 years old?
It's 30 years old today.
And it's one of the greats. It's a classic.
Classic?
Sure.
Serious?
Of course.
Kelly McGillis was classic. That was classic.
You don't think Top Gun is a classic?
Here's my thing on classics. And then I want to get into Tom Brady today because his nutritional manual, it's not a cookbook. I want to get into Tom Brady a little bit today.
Hot selling item, too.
The Diamondbacks. There's a good story about Serena Williams and dog food. You can't script this stuff. I mean, this stuff just shows up in our laps. And LeBron James kind of takes, no, he didn't kind of. He took a shot at Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard. I want to get to that on the show. But my definition back on Top Gun, and we'll go further later in the show. A classic is when AMC is on and you're just kind of scrolling around and you're not on Hulu and you're not on Netflix. And I'm not sitting there Snapchatting with my kids or I'm not, you know, none of that stuff. It's what makes you stop. It's like the Matrix to me is a classic. Last week, Caddyshack was on and my wife was watching it. She's like, hey, come on in, watch this. Well, I'm supposed to be watching the Warriors. I'm supposed to be working. Well, this is far more important. This is family time. She's right. So of course, guys, I didn't watch all the Warriors game. And that leads, so I'm going to get into whether it's a classic or not a little bit later. And we'll have Good Eat the Movies tomorrow. Tom Brady is in the news cycle today. And it's not about, and the timing of this has to be his PR people saying, we got to get the word out that he's a really good guy. We're going to do a little bit of a makeover of Tom Brady. That's what's got to be happening here. Why else would this week, the Tom Brady nutritional manual, I'm not making this up, the Tom Brady nutritional manual came up. This is not Deflategate. This is not about the size of the balls. You see it there. You can actually take this book apart. I'm not joking. There's 89 recipes. It's made out of wood, and it breaks loose. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. So Tom Brady does not like sugar, does not like white flour, does not like olive oil, does not like iodized salt, does not like tomatoes, peppers, mushrooms, eggplants. He doesn't like any caffeine and dairy. So he's not normal in my book, especially the caffeine part. But I do think it's interesting, A, the timing of this, that they want to get the word out that he's a really good guy. He's going to be sitting on a couch wearing a pink sweater, doing something on The View before you know it. And this is called image makeover. Brady's personal chef revealed in January the Patriots quarterback eats 80% vegetables. So he eats stuff like quinoa. Do you do quinoa?
I've had quinoa.
My wife tries to get me to do quinoa, and it's just, it's not working. It's probably why this has gone down the back of my head. Quinoa, brown rice, millet. What is millet?
I don't know. I don't know.
Beans?
But you know what you can enjoy for dessert in the Tom Brady cooking manual?
Avocado ice cream.
It sounds delightful.
Delightful. Of course it is. Tom Brady raves about avocado ice cream. Of course he does. When he's sitting on the Today Show with Savannah in the C block, wearing a white calming sweater and saying, how nice it is to see you, Savannah. Let me tell you about avocado ice cream today. Oh, how interesting. How stunning. And then, hey, honey, he's not a bad guy. Who cares about the size of footballs being flated up or not? He didn't cheat. He's got his cookbook. He's got a nutritional manual. It's a living document is what the Brady people are calling this. Now, look, I admire Tom Brady on the football field, but the PR side of this just smells loudly. It's a $200 price tag for this manual that's printed and hand-assembled in the United States. So that is just right off the top. LeBron got into it with some people about Steph Curry. This is of interest to me, and we'll get into the playoffs in a little bit. Dave McGinnis in about 7 minutes. We'll talk with Coach Mack and then Greg Byrne. But LeBron, the day after Steph Curry gets voted the unanimous winner, and this is the first time, okay, understand this. It's the first time that LeBron did not get votes to be in first for the MVP. And for some reason, LeBron James likes to make it about LeBron James. Steph Curry was voted the first unanimous winner in 61 years. In fact, LeBron didn't even finish second. He finished third behind Kawhi Leonard. So LeBron was asked about most valuable player. And he said, quote, I think sometimes the word valuable or best player of the year, you can have different results. Of course he said this. You know, that's not taking anything from anyone that's ever won the award. No. How about just, hey, that's really great, Steph won it. No, I think sometimes the word valuable, you can have different results. I don't know why he has to go down this path. And maybe if it's Michael Jordan and it's 20 years ago and there's not Twitter and there's not Instagram and there's not Facebook and there's not social media, he would have said the same sort of asinine things, which comes across as, well, let me taint this a little bit. It's really not all that. Or maybe that's just what drives a guy like LeBron James. Steph Curry and the Warriors eliminated Portland last night. Curry had 29. But I thought the real story of that game. Did you watch?
Didn't see all of it. Saw parts of it.
Did you see the defense that Klay Thompson played on Lillard? And I know Lillard went crazy in the first half, but Klay Thompson had a hell of a series there. If you think back to where Klay Thompson was in the discussion, it's always been about Steph Curry. I thought he played really well last night.
He's not just a second fiddle. I mean, he's had huge offensive games when Steph was out.
If you would rather have Westbrook and Durant or Thompson and Curry.
Wow, that's...
But see, and they're different types of players, because if you have a point guard in Westbrook and you have a big like Durant, that's different than having a wing like Thompson and Curry.
But Durant is a wing, a post, and a point guard all wrapped in one.
That's true.
That's what makes him so unique.
That's true. So the Warriors win, and I thought defense was a big reason why they eliminated Portland. It brings up tonight where Oklahoma City plays San Antonio tonight. This is the game of the night. This series has been everything right about sports. LaMarcus Aldridge's last three games has not played well. Tim Duncan can't move. There comes a point with players. We saw it here with Steve Nash at the end of his career with the Suns. It's hard to watch the legends try to play the game. Tim Duncan looks like he has a piano going up and down the court. He plays 8 minutes. He goes and sits on the sidelines. Doesn't really do much. Hasn't done much in this series. Then the Spurs have been out-rebounded, and that's why OKC is looking to move on. That caught my eye. The Diamondbacks host the Giants tonight. It's a big series here in the Valley. Diamondbacks are a game and a half back of San Francisco. You have Greinke on the mound tonight against Johnny Cueto. The Diamondbacks came back yesterday. They trailed 7-1, came all the way back at Colorado. Would have been a nice win. Would have been a perfect way to end the road trip with a sweep of the Rockies, but the bullpen burped it up. So that's going on tonight. Over to Max Scherzer briefly, and then we'll get to Dave McGinnis. Max Scherzer is a former Diamondback. So, yeah, my inbox this morning was filled, and actually last night on Twitter, it was quite a bit of, this is a former Diamondback. This will go down as one of the worst deals the Diamondbacks have made. Well, they've made several bad deals. Max Scherzer struck out 20 last night against Detroit. Some of the numbers behind this, and you see it there, of what he did, 119 pitches that he threw. That's the fewest among the 20 strikeout guys, including Randy Johnson, who was with us yesterday, or Kerry Wood or Roger Clemens. He threw 119 pitches. Only 23 of them were balls. He had 24 first pitch strikes of the 33 batters he faced. He didn't walk anybody. So I remember in through the years in covering Randy, and we would talk about strikeouts, Randy Johnson's view is strikeouts are overrated. It's kind of interesting when you see a guy like Scherzer do what he did yesterday. Randy's view is you have to throw at least three pitches to get a strikeout. And so the tax on your pitch count goes up and up and up if you throw in foul balls and all that. So when Randy struck out his 20, I remember it vividly, he was not very happy with it. He said, I'd rather get the ground ball out. But Max Scherzer used the right word, sexy. He said it was a sexy performance. Even him acknowledging it was a sexy performance. I mean, look at that. What a great shot that is. Of all the strikeouts, that was last night. And that's what you want to see in sports. There's things like, I don't know, a prodigious home run sometimes is not as much fun for me to watch as a triple. Triples are exciting in baseball, if you think about it. Because there's always a close play at third base. Home run, you hit it out, it's fine, it's great. If it's a home run into the second deck, and maybe it's just I've seen too much baseball through the years, I'd rather see a guy go strike out 15 and blow them away than see a guy go out on the mound and struggle and scuffle. Obviously, I'm big into strikeouts. Randy's view is a little different. Scherzer last night used the word sexy, and I think that's dead on right.
And no one's going to remember any of Randy Johnson's 4-1 wins where he threw 88 pitches and struck out five. But they're going to remember that night against the Reds at then Bank One Ballpark when he struck out 20. I mean, that's, and what they'll remember, it's an iconic moment.
Sure, and I think if you go back in Randy's career, or any great pitcher, I really like it when they don't have their best stuff. Because it's not like an actor or an actress where they can go reshoot it. When greatness goes out on the floor, it doesn't matter if it's in a football game and they're sick. Doesn't matter if it's in a baseball game and they're on the mound, they're trying to work their way through it. You can't just say, stop. You have to work through it. It's kind of like this. Jordan Spieth is on the course today. Today is the first round, and I'm going to watch this weekend. Today is Jordan Spieth's first round of golf since he gagged at the Masters. When you are off for 4 weeks and you have a five-stroke lead at Augusta with nine holes to go, and you play with both hands squarely around your neck rather than your club, that's not good. He went to Bermuda with Ricky Fowler, and today is his first day out on the course. There's an enormous media contingent that is following Jordan Spieth. He's captured the imagination of our country. Fred Couples, who is going to be the Ryder Cup captain, is there as watching him as well. Cannot have Jordan Spieth melt down. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Brad Sismat Football AZ, airs tomorrow night. On the other side, Dave McGinnis will be with us. We'll talk with Coach Mack, LA Rams assistant head coach, about the Rams relocating to L.A. and the whole lay of the land with Jared Goff and much more with the popular Dave McGinnis. That's next. I'm Brad Sismat. All right, so Eric and I were talking about the Rams and the whole NFC West deal with the Cardinals coming in. And now that the Rams are in L.A. and Dave McGinnis, of course, former great Cardinal coach, and he was great. He's still great. The assistant head coach of the L.A. Rams joins us now. We're wondering, Coach Mack in L.A., just, I don't know, I've seen some pictures of you doing your thing out there. Has life been good for you in Los Angeles, Mr. McGinnis?
Yeah, Brad, it's pretty good. I can't complain. You and Eric are welcome out here anytime you want to come. I got a place in Malibu right on the beach. I got two surfboards on the porch ready for both
of you. Get out of here. Surfboards, Malibu, now? Well, let's finish the interview now. We'll get on a plane and we'll come right out. Come on, yeah. Coach. We'll take you up on that.
Good on those surfboards. Yeah, things are good. I mean, this is a pretty epic move in this league, you know, clearly. We're very excited to be out here. I mean, the move itself, I mean, you know, of course, it's a pretty big undertaking when you take a whole organization across the country, but it's been a real seamless adventure. I mean, you know, we've been out here for nearly 2 months now. And, you know, we had our draft down at LA Live, and now we're set up right here now in Oxnard where the Cowboys have training camp. And we'll be here through the end of June, you know, through this OTA period. And then, once we go to training camp, we're going to go to training camp down at Cal Irvine. And then once we break training camp in Cal Irvine, then we'll move the operation up to Thousand Oaks, you know, where we'll be, you know, where we'll be during the season. And of course, we're playing our games, until the stadium gets built in Englewood. We're going to play our games in the Coliseum for the next, you know, for the next, 2 years. And so, it's very exciting out here. And of course, the bottom line to all of it, as you guys know, is, I mean, we've got to get a football team ready to be able to compete in a very, very competitive, NFC West division. And so, you know, it's moving along, guys.
You know, Dave McGinnis is with us. And when I look at what's gone on, Dave, in the period of time of moving from St. Louis out to Los Angeles, the drafting of Jared Goff, that's all well and good. But if we're just talking X and O's, you've got a hell of a team that's lined up now. I mean, defensively, you were already there, and you've got a running back in Todd Gurley. It seems to me that in L.A., if Jared Goff just comes in and doesn't kill you, you're going to be just fine, right?
Well, I mean, you know, everything's got it. I mean, we really feel good. I mean, clearly because of, you know, when we moved up to the draft, you know, to get Jared, we feel very, very strongly about what he can do and what he can do, you know, for us.
Sure.
Not only now, but clearly, you know, for quite a while. But, you know, I mean, I've been in the league 31 years, and I tell you what you do. You don't ever assume or, you know, take anything for granted. I mean, everything has got to be done, you know, systematically and step by step. But we've, you know, when we first took this thing over, you know, now going on 5 seasons ago, I mean, their previous record when we showed up to St. Louis was 15-65, which was the worst 5-year stretch in the history of the National Football League. So, I mean, this thing had to be built literally from the ground up. And so we have, you know, we've progressively, you know, gotten there. But again, I mean, everybody, and especially the division we're in, I mean, you guys, I mean, Cardinals are a damn good football team. Seattle, clearly a damn good, you know, a damn good football team. San Francisco, you know, they were a damn good football team.
Right.
And so, I mean, this league is so competitive, and especially, you know, this NFC West, you know, 5 years ago flipped to where it was the toughest, you know, conference in the division in the National Football League. So, believe me, we are grinding and working every day at it. But yeah, we think that you know, that what we've assembled here, and you know, knock on wood, you know, the health of players is always paramount in this league. But then the acquisition of Jared, and we'll get him in here and get him working. I mean, this is yeah, we've got a plan. You just got to keep working it, just like everybody else is. But everybody else is doing the same thing at this time of year.
Dave McGinnis with us for a couple of minutes. LA Rams assistant head coach, joining us from Los Angeles about this whole move. In terms of the marketplace, Dave, if you can fill me in here, there's the Lakers, and the Rams held off on the Goff trade with what happened with Kobe in his final game, which I thought was the right move to make.
Right.
But how do you balance everything in a market where you've got Vin Scully one night and you've got the UCLAs, the USCs? Where do the Rams fall in right now, and do you think it's going to pick up?
Well, I mean, it's already picked up. I mean, we had our draft down at LA Live, and I mean, the response and just the anticipation of the Rams coming back to LA has been incredible. Mm. I mean, this is going to be, I mean, it is a you know, it's that is part of the excitement too. And of course, then it's incumbent upon us, you know, to win football games to keep everybody excited, you know, for a long time. But the reception and what we've, I mean, it's really, really been really good. I mean, I can't, again, as I said, I've thought that I'd experienced everything in 30 years in this league. Well, with this move and coming to LA, something different.
The price of your house went up a little bit too, right?
You know what? I've been on full scholarship since I signed a 4-year full scholarship at TCU,
right,
40 years ago, and they told me it was good for 4 years. They lied to me. I've been on a full scholarship for 40 years, so I'm in pretty good shape.
That's good. That's good. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate the time and the insight, Coach Mack. Good visiting with you. Thanks.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, guys. Talk to you. Come visit me anytime.
That surfboard is a pretty good invitation. There's Dave McGinnis with us.
See you.
See you later, pal. in Los Angeles. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Of course, Fox Sports Arizona carries Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Back with more after this timeout. We are going to talk all things around the U of A and football. It's nice to have Greg Byrne drop on in studio, the athletic director at the University of Arizona. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. It is good to see you. You're just coming off the big Pac-12 meetings up here in the Valley?
We were, absolutely. We've been up here in the Valley a lot in the last 2 weeks.
You've been up here a lot in the Valley in the last, I don't know, 6 years?
6 years, yeah, we have. This is an important area for us, and we have a lot of alums, we have a lot of recruits, we have a lot of future students, and so it's important for us to be here. In fact, have a number of events over the spring up here, too. So we always say Arizona's Wildcat country, and including Phoenix.
You have the BYU game coming up on Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
September
2nd.
2nd, I think it is. And is that going to be a U of A home game, or is it going to be a lot of blue and white, or does it matter?
I think it's going to be both. I think BYU's got a strong following here in the Valley. We've obviously got a great following here in the Valley. And shortly after I took over at U of A, and it's hard to believe I'm in my seventh year now, I think the first time I came to Phoenix, somebody said, "Are you going to do a football game up here?" And I said, "Well, it's a definite maybe. We'll take a look at it." Mm. And sure enough, looked at some different options, a few different things, and talked to Tom Homo, the AD at BYU, and they have a great following here. So we got together and put this together. And it was good because we have 7 home games in Tucson this year as well, so we weren't taking a home game away. And it's something I really think is going to put another solid footprint up here in Maricopa County. About the interest of the University of Arizona and the passion that our fan base has. And that's a good thing for us. And so we're excited what that game means. And I think there'll be a lot of red in there, and there'll also be BYU fans. And that's exactly what we want.
And you're fine with that. So the obvious question is this going to become an annual thing? I think I've talked to you about this in the past. Have you given it more thought than every year having a game up here?
Every year won't happen. Obviously, every other year we play a game in Tempe, which is a mm-hmm. good thing for us. What I want to do is let's get through this game this year, see how the response is to it, see how it impacts our future scheduling. Our foundation's Tucson, and we can't lose sight of that. It's important from a business standpoint in our community, our season ticket holders feeling the value in their tickets. But to play a game up here this coming year, great. Let's see where we are after this game is over.
So I wrote a column last week suggesting that the Pac-12 is in a space where maybe U of A and ASU should be open-minded to conference expansion. I had a lot of feedback off that. When I say expansion, maybe going to a different part of the country. I'm not going to ask you about that today. What I want to know is everything within the conference good? Is everything solid? Is in the best interests of the U of A?
Well, I'll address the first thing. We belong in the Pac-12. That's where we should be, and we're obviously proud of our partnership with our institutions in the conference. The conference has had great success academically, athletically, and socially, and that's a great thing to be a part of. As far as where we are as a conference, we have made a lot of great strides. Our meetings this past week were very positive. I thought we covered some areas that maybe we hadn't as well before. We'll want that to continue. And we also want to go out and compete. And we compare ourselves, obviously, to the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC. And so we're always looking at things. How are we looking from a competitive standpoint? And the structure of our conference and what we do is an important part of that. And mm-hmm. I do think we've made a lot of great strides in the last several years. And we can't take our foot off the pedal. We have to look and see what gives us the best opportunities to get resources to our campuses so we can have the infrastructure that we can support 20 sports at U of A. I know ASU is adding men's tennis, so I believe they're up to 25 or 26 sports. I want to make sure that we're focused on the 20 that we have, and support from our conference is an important part of that.
So when the Big Ten gets a bigger TV contract, and the SEC TV contract is bigger, and the Pac-12 network is still sitting off to the side, that's what you're alluding to, I think, is just the amount of monies that is being funneled in to each university, right?
You're paying attention to that, sure. I wouldn't be honest if I wasn't acknowledging that. And at the same time, too, the Pac-12 networks from a programming standpoint has been excellent. We've had a lot of really high-quality programming. I know distribution is something we want to continue to work on. We know the market is changing, but we also hope that we can be an important part of that. the best thing that we could do, and we've asked, and actually it's been interesting, I was told by the folks at Dish Network that Tucson per capita was the leading, new subscriber to Dish Network in the country, that they had a lot of people switch so they could watch the U of A. It goes back to the passion that we have down in Tucson. But we need to continue every single day with what we do as a university, what we do as an athletics department. How do we continue to get ourselves in the best possible position to be competitive academically, athletically, and socially? And I know the Pac-12 is focused on the same thing.
Do you believe, Greg, that there will come a day, because you have seen Big 12, that we will go from Power 5 to Power 4 in terms of conferences?
I don't think so. I'd be surprised at that. I know there's a lot of different theories out there. Could there ever be everybody just kind of combining into the Autonomy 5, the Power 5 conferences, and it's just one big group? I think there's tremendous value on having the affiliation geographically, having the affiliation from like-minded institutions. I think there's a lot of value in that, and I'd hate to see those traditions go away. And at the same time, too, I also didn't think I'd see Texas A&M in the SEC and see Maryland and Rutgers in the Big Ten. So you can never say never, but I think the models of the five conferences and some of the steps we've been able to make from an autonomy standpoint has been very good for the student-athlete experience, for the health of what we do. There are people that try to punch holes in college sports. I get it.
Yes, there are.
And are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. You and I could sit and talk about different issues. However, what takes place inside of our athletics departments? The people yesterday had Tracy Hicks from our track and field team who came in to see me. She's the first person in her family ever to graduate from college. She is so proud. Her family is so proud. They're all going to be here and be a part of that. And there's lots and lots of those types of stories, no matter what the sport is, and the impact that a strong athletics program can have on the university, on the community, on the people inside of that program. And as we get people that are critical of what we do, it's important to pay attention and to say, hey, maybe there's some things we need to look at and what can we do to get better. At the same time, too, what some groups call for and where they want us to end up, I think if we went to a free market enterprise all of a sudden, what that would look like compared to what it looks like today would probably be very different. And I think we'd sit back and say, boy, was this really what we wanted? And with that, we need to do a better job of talking about what we are doing for our student athletes, the investments that we're making, the opportunities that are created, because they're very real and they're very good. And I don't think we should be bashful about talking about those things.
Your games, in terms of attendance, since I've gotten to know you, you've done the makeover of the stadium, you've done a lot down there, the Lowell Stevens facility, and yet I think there's still some frustration about filling seats. And does that go back to start times? Does that go back to the culture? A whole bunch of things. Just address that, because there's a lot of U of A people that will be watching this.
Well, there's no doubt there's passion for our program, and the excitement level that Coach Rodriguez has brought to our program has been outstanding. We know on a Saturday game day, when you drive through Tucson, north, south, east, west, it doesn't matter, a high percentage. I think it's fair to say 75% of the people are wearing the colors. They're watching the game. They're engaged. What TV has become and the way it's changing, it's very comfortable to be at home. We have done things with the stadium of Lowell Stevens and the impact on the north end zone. We need to address the rest of the stadium. And actually, what I'd like us to do, we're at about 56,000. We average around 50,000. That's that last 6,000 that it's hard to get over the top with at times. I'd like to shrink capacity to about 50,000 and have us go to more individual chair backs, improve the restrooms, the concessions, the ingress and the egress. And I truly believe, because of the passion that's there from our fan base, that demand, that positive quality environment of being there on game days is something that I think we'll be able to get to. I don't think it's unrealistic to be at a hard sellout at 50,000. That's going to take a lot of resources, and that's going back to how we're very focused on doing everything we can to get the resources to our campuses so we can be in a position to invest in our infrastructure and support. Part of that's from a student-athlete experience. Part of that's from a fan experience, and balancing those two things out. And next steps for us is having to address the rest of Arizona Stadium.
When you go through the stadium, do you pay attention to what ASU is doing with their stadium reconstruction and how they're going about it and the improvements they're making, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I haven't seen it firsthand other than when we played up in Tempe this past year. I've been following it, reading different mm-hmm. articles, things that you've talked about and the Republic have talked about. And yeah, an important thing of what you do is paying attention to what your competition is doing. That's within our entire conference. And we've made a lot of really good strides. I'll put up our football building. I remember Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports
last
was
year.
In.
Yep.
And he said, "Greg, this is as good as I've seen." And that's right there in Tucson, Arizona. And it's also amazing. Coach Rodriguez talks about it all the time. If we can get a kid to visit, our batting average, about 75% of the time they're going to commit and sign with us. Mm-hmm. Getting them to Tucson, it's not necessarily on the way to everything, but once they see, you know, Southern California kids, Phoenix kids, they get a chance to come to a college town. And I tell them when they're in my office on the recruiting trip, I said, every road in Tucson leads to where you're sitting right here. And isn't it fun to be in a community that is very passionate about it, that if you go do the right things and do the right things academically, you do the right things athletically and socially, you're going to get a lot of attention for who you are. And being in that type of environment is very special, and being that only game in town really separates us from our competition and something we focus on a lot.
There are high school coaches that will watch this segment, and on the football front, do you feel as though you're getting to where you want to be with Rich and his staff and making contact around the state? That is an age-old issue that I've heard for 25 years. I don't see a U of A or an ASU guy here on campus. And you talk to them, they're like, we've been at that campus.
They have.
So are you seeing enough out of U of A in terms of touch points around the state and high schools?
Sure. Well, I know part of the reason why we hired Charlie Regal to our staff and Vince Amy and a few other folks who have different ties up here. They're up here in the schools. And I remember when we made the coaching change and before I hired Coach Rodriguez, I called about half a dozen of the top coaches in the state. I said, tell me what we're doing well. Tell me what we can do to get better. And I do think from the great majority of the high school coaches, there is a desire to see their top young men stay in the state. And they know coming to Tucson, their family can go away to college, and their families can go watch them play for a tank of gas, not have to jump on a plane and go somewhere else. And the young men and young women for our women's sports as well can have that real great college experience. And to me, it's such a great, attractive route for so many of the top student athletes in the state to come to Tucson, to come to the U of A. But I see that for our general student body too. I mean, a lot of our student body comes from Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. And that's why this market is so important to us.
As always, I appreciate you coming in. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brad.
Good seeing
right.
Greg Byrne.
Bear down.
There you go. You got to get that in. You want to give it to the camera straight up.
Bear down.
There you go. We've got to make sure we get it in right. We are back with more after this timeout. Always good to catch up with Greg Byrne. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic and, of course, Fox Sports Arizona. Hey, Eric, have you been to an orchestra concert yet with your kids?
No, I don't have kids, so I have not been to an orchestra concert.
That's right. So I'm throwing that out at you just so when it happens. I did my first orchestra concert last night. So those of you that are orchestra parents or your kids are in orchestra, it's fine. I'm not making fun of it. It's just I learned a very valuable lesson last night to make sure you have your phone charged so you can watch the Warriors Blazers when orchestra concert goes to 2.5 hours and your son is done 20 minutes in.
It's not banned, remember.
It's not banned. No, if I call it banned, then I'm screwed. I've got orchestra parents yelling at me. It was fine. I'm very supportive. Love the fact my son's in orchestra. Love the fact he's in water polo. Love the fact he's in basketball. We have a championship game Saturday I'm coaching in. And we have a referee crew that almost threw my coach out, the head coach out, and I was going to take over. Pulled the coach aside, sat him down, leaned into him and said, "Hey, dude, we may have the same crew next Saturday in the title game. If we win, we get to play in the arena on the Suns floor.
Ooh.
We might be the best team on that arena floor in the last 6 years, the way the Suns have played."
Hey, now.
I know. No, orchestra is, that was a tough one last night. That was a tough deal. I saw these dads are like glazed over. My wife's leaning into me. "What? Come on. Oh, you're not being supportive. What are you talking about? It's rude if you walk out." No, there's a Bosa Donuts right around the corner. I could just get out of here and I can enjoy my day.
Huh? That long?
It was long. 2.5 hours of fifth graders, sixth graders, and high schoolers.
And I know how you get about long movies. You kind of have the same frustrations with long movies. Just like, oh,
long movies can.
I've been in here for 2 hours and 40 minutes.
No, my attention span is, look, after 2 hours, I'm done. I need to move on for the next deal. That's just how I'm wired. Did you see the Serena Williams story?
I did.
So you're a pet guy.
I am.
You have how many rescue dogs?
Three.
You ever tried their dog food?
Not once.
So Serena, if you guys haven't heard this, so Serena decides that she went on Snapchat and she said, don't eat dog food. So she decided to go get extremely expensive hotel dog. I've never stayed at a hotel that has dog food. I don't know if it's like on the menu there that you can order and say, yes, I would like the chicken dog food to be brought up here on a platter. She says that she ordered it. She didn't say what hotel. It comes in the same takeout containers as human food. It's described like human food. It's delivered with real human cutlery. Of course it is. Here's a fork for your dog food. It's not like the crazy uncle who eats the dog biscuits in front of the kids here, I guess. So Serena decides that she wants to try the dog food. Of course she does. She eats the dog food that she said tasted like cleaning liquid. And she admits that she had to sprint to the toilet because it was like cleaning liquid to her internally. And she doodled a helpful note for the next occupant of her hotel room. If you're a human, do not eat. It makes you SH blank T. Come on, really? This is Serena? I'm sure a publicist loves this. She chose to tell the story on Snapchat because she won't have to hear the haters, she says. She doesn't want to hear the haters on this. I'm not hating. It's just if you eat wet dog food, expect the end result, okay? The dog was served real salmon, is what she said. The spoon is made of real silver. So this was Serena Williams' deal, and that caught my eye. I've never eaten my dog's food. And you have three of your rescues. You've never done that either, right?
No, not once.
It's just a Serena thing.
Nope.
So what happens when you're a popular tennis star and you just have way too much time on your hands? I'm going to go on Snapchat and I'm going to talk about how I had dog food and it ran right through me.
And we don't take them to expensive hotels. So
we don't take our dogs to expensive hotels. We don't order off the menu for dog food. This is only a Serena thing. So that caught my eye. Today's the 30-year anniversary of Top Gun. And Eric came in this morning. That was the first thing out of his mouth. It gives you an idea about today's show. Now, Tom Cruise's Maverick, but by the way, this movie had one of the worst sports sides to it. Do you remember the volleyball scene?
Vaguely. I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
Go watch the volleyball scene. It's just painful. But Tim Robbins was in this movie. That's how good. Val Kilmer was in this movie. If you look at the cast of the movie, I decided to pull it up. And of course, we remember Kelly McGillis being in it. Who could forget Kelly? Kelly McGillis was so hot. I'm like 18 when I see this movie. I was full on in love with her.
And look at the trailer. It's like the old school trailer where it's square and not in sweet, fun little HD.
Yeah, it's old square and it doesn't have like all the swooping effects and like 5 stars must see. No, yep. It's just here's Tom Cruise and we have a movie and here's Meg Ryan and Meg Ryan's pretty hot.
Watch it off a VCR with a remote control that's plugged into the back of the
VCR. You really think this is one of the best movies, really?
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Animal House is a classic.
It is a classic.
30 years ago.
You're trying to debate with me, and all I'm doing is agreeing with you.
Do you do, if it's a classic, then they have to remake it. And we all know how it goes with remakes. You have to recast this. Like, if you were to recast Top Gun today.
I think they are remaking it.
Are they remaking this?
I think they are.
Get out of here.
I think they are. Stand by. I'll ask Google.
Ask Google. Wolfman. Some great names in this movie. Back on the Diamondbacks for tonight, because it's the big story here in the Valley. And for Zach Greinke, he just pitched really well. His best outing of the season on Saturday down in Atlanta. Or Friday, rather, in Atlanta. And you have the Giants in here tonight. The Giants are a game and a half up. The Diamondbacks have been awful with a capital A at home so far this season. They have not played well at all. And when you have your ace on the mound and you want to kind of get the fans interested in your product, this is a game tonight that you would like to see them go out and do something. I've already heard the rumblings around town. I was at a speaking thing yesterday, and every question was about the Cardinals or ASU football. It wasn't about the Diamondbacks. They're not on people's radar screens. And so when you have a series of this magnitude, they're rolling Randy Johnson out tonight for the renaming of Randy Johnson Way. This would be a perfect opportunity, these 4 games. And then you have the Yankees here on Monday. So this seven-game homestand, they're a game and a half back. Show something here. Show some life here. Show some interest here. Get some fans in the stands. I know next week none of the games against the Yankees are sold out, by the way. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but it is the Yankees, and they're going to do a whole bunch of 2001 World Series stuff for people to remember it. I don't know if Mariano Rivera is going to throw out the first pitch. It'd be kind of fun to do. Like, hey, you know, you're the one that burped up the World Series win here, but that's going on as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. It's on Fox Sports Arizona. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, you can check it out there. And of course, all of our content up on our website at sports360AZ.com. Enjoy your day.